I'm Bluey the blue nose reindeer, not a ripoff of Rudolph. Amazing.
I always advise me to say.
Okay, welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yay. Merry Christmas!
And we're here with Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hello.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Jeanette.
Hi.
Lisa.
Merry Christmas.
And Alex.
Hey.
And Merry Christmas.
And I really don't want to
announce. He's saying it really quick because he doesn't want me to say anything in particular.
I really don't want to announce what we're watching. What are we watching, Lisa?
We are watching the very special Christmas episode of South Park's Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Everybody, howdy
ho! And what is this about?
Wow, this really is going to be a shit show.
We need to start this episode very much with a language warning.
We're flanking.
Yes,
we should. Why do I know? Should be watching this show.
It's a podcast. Nobody's watching it anyway.
We watch it so you don't have to.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
She's the only one not drinking.
Allegedly.
So South Park recently, in August, it hit its 25th anniversary, and it's still going right up until now. And this particular episode came out 25 years and about 2 weeks ago. It came out on the 17th of December, 1997. So is there anyone here who's never watched South Park?
Oh, I've watched a few episodes.
I've watched a few episodes.
You have watched South Park. Yes.
Most of what I've watched has been the video games.
No! I didn't know what to do it.
We let her watch some South Park and she got very addicted very quickly. She's a big fan, so
Not try this at home.
Yeah, do not try this at home.
Yeah.
Worst parent of the world. That's why she's here watching it with her today.
In the word award, there you go. No, it's an award.
It's an award. Thanks, guys. So, for those who've never watched South Park, it's an animated show. When it was originally created, it was made with cut out pieces of paper.
And
so,
oh my god, it looks so realistic.
You need to stop cutting me off, man. I need to do this. So, it has four young 8-year-old boys.
Four, 9 and 10.
Stan, Kyle, Cartman, and Kenny.
I know about Kenny.
Yes.
Hey, guy.
Kenny dies. Kenny dies
spoilers,
in just about every episode. Yeah. So, and it's how they navigate life in this small Colorado town of South Park. So the makers of South Park, Trey Parker, Matt Stone. South Park was based on, I can't remember the name of the town, but it was an actual town that Matt Stone grew up in. Stan is very much Trey Parker. Matt Stone is very much Kyle, who was a young Jewish boy living in a very WASPy country town in Colorado.
I thought you were going to say Cartman for a minute.
No. Trey Parker does the voice of Cartman, and Matt Stone does the voice of Kenny, even though it's just muffled noises. And they pretty much do the voice of most of the men in the town, except for the chef, who is played by Isaac Hayes, who you may know as the guy who sang the theme song to Shaft.
No.
No! Sorry, no. Please edit that out.
Do you remember about a year ago you really wanted Mackenzie to find her voice for this podcast? Oh, the regret.
So doomed.
Oh my god, okay.
This is being a parent fun.
Don't edit that out.
No, just please edit that out. So, yeah, so he makes chocolate salty balls that are a little bit similar to the Oreo Christmas balls that we make every year, like little truffle balls. And,
yummy.
The song he sings about them pretty much. Okay. So, this particular episode came out 25 years ago, and it is a story of how Kyle cannot find his way during Christmas, being Jewish and feeling ostracized from the rest of his community and trying to find a way with his Jewish faith. And so he discovers this non-denominational icon of Christmas, which is Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh. In the words of my sister, when I told her we were doing this episode at Christmas Eve, she said, but it's a piece of sheet. It literally is. She's like, I can't. She did not cope well with South Park, and she definitely is not a fan of this episode. But
so she won't be listening to this podcast.
I won't lie. I made my parents sit down and watch this series back in the first season, and yeah, they loved it. So knew it was highly dubious, but they knew my sense of humour, and yeah, right up my alley at the time. I watch it now, and we've been watching it lately, and there's certain things where you just kind of go, oh, it doesn't hold up, or it's not as funny, yeah. It's a little bit juvenile. But then there's other things that still, there's probably other things that I didn't get back then that I get more now, yeah. And yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of takes on South Park that have aged terribly.
Yes. Basically, extremely terribly, yes.
Well, basically, late episodes, I'm not seeing the latest episodes, but some of them are basically they're trying to atone for the stuff they did before.
Well, there was one episode, I think about season 5, it was the Nambla episode where Cartman goes online and picks up a whole heap of pedophiles, and I just went, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. That was my point, and a few people kind of went, surely, like, and I said, oh, look, there was a lot of giving them a little bit of leeway, but that was the one where I went, I can't anymore.
I'm not thinking as well, the one they compared to being trans to thinking you want to turn yourself into a dolphin. And of course, the
Jesus
one. It's basically Mr. Cartman, who temporarily became Ms. Oh, what's the teacher's name? His name I've forgotten.
Garrison.
Mr. Garrison. Yeah. Temporarily became Ms. Garrison.
Yeah.
Getting a sex change operation. And they compared that to Carl said wanted to become a dolphin. And it's just like, that's a terrible take. Thank you very much.
I remember that one. And I think that was about the time I stopped watching.
I stopped watching before that. So,
And basically, it's another episode where they compared climate change to Al Gore imagining a creature called Man Bear Pig, and they've kind of had to admit that they were wrong and get another episode where Man Bear Pig was actually real after all. And bad takes that have not aged. It's not even like it was juvenile, it's just they picked the wrong political stance and they have to live with it now.
And I kind of had to go through this conscience of faith when I started watching like the first so many seasons of it, because it was bits where I remember being funny and went, was I an edgelord?
I think it's also, I heard about Lewis episode, it was after the Charlottesville riots is the wrong word, but the one where the alt-right arseholes were upset, they were taking down a statue, and they ended up having one of them just drove through a crowd of folks and killed one of them. And their episode about that was nothing to do with that, it ended up being about Amazon Alexa, and I'm like, well, congratulations on not taking a stance here, you cowards.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, don't care about any other episodes they do. One season.
But that would have been more of a recent one.
It was, but it was just that they did an entire season about political correctness and it didn't even bother to even acknowledge that. It's like, oh, okay, thanks for making your stance as well known.
Yeah.
Like, not even like they did the wrong political stance, which is like, okay, you've taken the easiest thing in the world against the left and you're not even bothering to attack the right wing in any way. Okay, you're not actually wanting to do political stances anymore. I don't care what you say.
These were writers and creators who ultimately were all about pushing boundaries and pushing the envelope and trying to take all of these risks back in the late 90s.
Yeah. Mm.
But now they're quite successful middle-aged men who are very comfortable. So I don't know how that trend... And they've got kids of their own and things like that. Yeah. So I don't know how that...
And also...
Risk-taking isn't necessarily left-wing. It can be right-wing. Pushing boundaries can be a very right-wing thing. People tend to think it's a left-wing radical thing, but in fact can often be very right.
Yeah, and a lot of the stances, like, say, there have been episodes where if you look at them piece by piece, they've attacked the left-wing more than they've attacked the right. And I think there may have been a conscious choice because of how much taking risks has been in terms of either promoting anti-racist or pro-LGBT issues and against Christian stuff. And they're probably taking a different issue to make themselves unique. But some of the takes they've made, like I mentioned before, the comparing trans people to people who want to become dolphins, they've just aged terribly. And it's not even like they've been politically incorrect, it's just like, no, they've just made bad choices in their views and I don't care.
I think they belong in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's 90s jokes, it's a 90s take.
I think it's also as well, like early noughties was very much irreverent of like, oh, this is gay, oh, you're offended I used the word gay, ooh. It's like that kind of humour which is aged terribly and it's like, okay, don't care anymore.
It's just offensive things to
be offensive. We're being racist. Are you upset we're being racist? Ooh. And that just aged terribly. A lot of it's funnier. Like, one episode I really enjoyed at the time, I'm an atheist, and one of the jokes one episode was how it was Cartman froze himself to get the latest PS4 or whatever and ended up waking up like millions of years in the future where there are two groups fighting each other and they're both atheists fighting over who gets to name the atheist group. Mm-hmm. And that was very funny to me at the time because that
sounds well. Oh my god, we've lived that.
We have totally lived that.
That was hilarious. Some of the jokes ended up being
people front of Judea.
Yeah. That kind of stuff. And that works because A, a lot of human net that's got nothing to do with the political stuff. Mm. But B, their take was great, and that's why it was funny.
Yeah.
And that humor's aged well. It's just some of these choices have just failed.
Bella, you've watched South Park before, or?
I have, yes. Mm. Yes,
and
I have.
Have you watched much of it, or?
I watched a fair amount of it. It was the 90s thing to do when growing up, and my dad thought that they were hilarious and was like, you should watch this because it's, you know, it's so rude for rudeness sake sort of thing. And like,
so your dad introduced it to you and I introduced it to my dad. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you also introduced it to Mackenzie.
But yeah, so like I grew up in a very anarchistic and rebellious household to the point that my middle name is Rebellion and my sister's is Anarchy.
Yep.
I think Anarchy is an A-N-N-A-K-E-Y.
No, Anarchy is in, like, let's break down the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up with that. I think we watched the first movie that they did. That was my introduction to it, which I think was a Christmas movie.
The first movie was the...
It was a musical.
It was the musical.
It was basically, it was about the Terrence and Philip movie and how they wanted to blame Canada for all the bad things.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was like a lot of it was about...
Media censorship.
And Kenzie mocked me mercilessly.
Without mercy.
When I told her how many times I saw the South Park movie at the cinema.
About 10 times or more?
No, it wasn't 10 times or more. I think it was about 5 times at the cinema. So,
But that's more, what
you did back then.
So that means when, you know, Frozen 3 comes out and Mackenzie wants to watch it 5 times in the cinema, you've got no excuse.
It just comes straight out on Disney Plus now.
Yeah.
It's a different time.
It is, it really is.
So you watch the movie and...
I fell into it for a little bit, but I saw a lot of, like, the things that they were pushing at the time. And not to say that I'm a better person than you and I'm more, you know... evolved. But I kind of fell off the bandwagon pretty fast. I did watch a couple of random episodes since then, like the Cartman picking up pedophiles on the internet, which I thought was very funny in the sense that it's a child doing it for their own gain. And I'm like, what a great idea. Maybe it's
turning the tables.
It's turning the tables. I thought that was fun. I
haven't watched it today to see whether it's what how it feels today in a different context, I don't remember how it goes.
Yeah, I think
there was a lot of episodes when it kind of got to that era, it was like we'd go to watch episodes and I'd go, we're not watching that one, we're not watching that one, and we're not watching that one. You know, and we'd kind of pick and choose the episodes that she would watch.
I tend to give up quite fast because I got really annoyed with how everybody reacted in situations as well. It's like a lot of the situations that they were in, it was like just a matter of lack of communication or things like that. Yeah. And I was just, I used to get very frustrated by it.
That's my big beef with most things is lack of communication.
Everything is a lack of communication.
Yeah.
Like the fourth Harry Potter movie, total lack of communication. You could have solved everything with a little chit-chat and then it'd be fine. Dumbledore could have just sat down, had a little chit-chat with Harry at the end there going, hey, this is what I think's going to happen. Spoilers, you're probably going to have to die alongside Voldemort because he's got a bit of him inside of you. But didn't do that.
Could have done that in the first movie.
Could have straight up fixed everything.
I recently watched a series. We've just jumped back onto Netflix. So I watched Haunting at Hill House. I don't know if anyone's heard of it. It's actually really good.
Patrick's been telling us to watch it.
Yeah, and I didn't expect it to be as good as it was, but a lot of it was. A lot of the issues that they had as adults were just because they never communicated what happened in the house. You know, just go, oh my god, like you just smack your heads together and sit down and talk and all of this would have been over, you know?
That sends me mad. Absolutely mad. When I'm watching a movie and they don't do that.
Yeah.
Angus, have you watched much South Park?
So I don't think I've seen any episodes.
But
they released a video game. They released two. Stick of Truth and The Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
I watched gameplay of The Stick of Truth because it was all the basically school kids of that grade running around in a like live action role play scenario, and so you level up your kind of D&D character sort of thing in the world. And
I think I played the Stick of Truth. That was a really old one, wasn't it?
It's like I think it was like 2012, something.
No, I played one that was
Yeah.
I just remember you could have snowball fights, and you threw snowballs at people to fight with them, and obviously like then you just pick them up on the ground and throw them. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you could throw yellow snow, you know, and things like
that. I remember that. I think they kept that in the more recent games, because that's still a thing in the more recent games, is when you pick fights with people, you can throw a snowball at them to initiate the fight.
Yeah.
South Park had like a PlayStation game, and I distinctly remember doing that.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But that was early 2000s, so.
No. I watched this in like the, about 2012, 2013, just on YouTube. I watched someone play through the game.
And it's funny because you kind of go, the show would have like jumped the shark by then, but it's still been going for 25 years.
Yeah.
I thought it finished.
I think maybe this is sort of the fan base that's secure enough. They don't have to do anything innovative. They just have to do the same stuff over and over.
But surely it would be a fan base that would have aged out. Pick it up halfway through and age. Oh, I couldn't imagine the same people watching it in the late 90s.
There are a lot of men on the internet.
There are these terrible parents that introduce their kids to and it just goes on and on and on. It's terrible.
I know.
It's when just like one of those series where they just keep making them because it's cheap and the fan base is just strong enough that they keep money.
And then they've obviously they can do enough that they can bang out the series and then do things like Book of Mormon and things like that. Team America World Police.
Yeah.
Which is still, I think, up there with one of my dad's favourite movies of all time.
Mm. I think there's two movies that I actually really liked aside from everything that Trey and Matt did. And it was Basketball.
Amazing.
Basketball is actually a very good movie. But the makers of Basketball were the same people who made Flying High.
Airport for those.
That's like ZAZ, like Zuckerman, Abram Zuckerman.
And
I guess it's like for people like Trey Parker and Matt Stone, where they've just been flung into the stardom and go, hey, would you like to make a movie? And they'd be like, who would be your dream people to make a movie with? The guys who made Flying High.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that was it. It was, And you could see that zany kind of humour.
Yeah, but it was just done so much better. It wasn't offensive in any way. Yes. It was very much just...
Oh, it was more like the psych-out things that they would do would be the offensive things. Like they
but
would
the
psych-out
really
things
weren't
things.
That super offensive anyway.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, it was... weight discrimination at one point, but he just put on a Cartman voice to psych someone out. And
that would have made all of the South Park fans happy.
Yeah.
That would have been there to see it. Yeah.
And I think it was like a lot of Yo Mama jokes as well. And
I'm having sex with your girlfriend jokes.
Yeah. That was mainly like the most offensive. Everything else was like sexualized humor and funny. It wasn't like a... trans people are dolphins sort of thing.
It wasn't edgy for the sake of being edgy.
It was just fun. It was just fun.
It's so stupid. There's certain things in South Park and Basketball that I'll still quote today. But it's like, I don't know if you remember that first time when they're playing basketball and out the front of their house. And it's like, they keep doing, it's like, man, no more Journey psych outs. And it's like, Steve Perry. Steve Perry, man, no more Journey psych outs. I've already told you. And it's just like, no one gets it because it's just so freaking ridiculous.
I've done the movie and I've got no idea what anything you guys
I've seen it once years ago. I still don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Jeanette, have you watched much South Park?
No. I don't know if I've watched any. Of course, I know of it. It's one of those cultural
artifacts.
You
haven't watched a single episode? Not one episode?
I don't know. I probably have. I would imagine that I would have, but I don't remember any in particular. All I know is that Rory and Doctor Who, there's my Doctor Who reference.
Drink.
was compared to Kenny. So I know about Kenny because of Rory and Doctor Who.
Rory is Kenny of Doctor Who.
Kenny of Doctor Who.
Okay.
Oh, because he dies, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, how old? Death. Okay.
Okay, so should we get along and see what the cult TV cultists think of
Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Justin, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, he loves me and I love you.
Therefore, vicariously, he loves you.
Even though you're a Jew.
Cool. Okay.
Pour yourself another drink.
Okay, another drink. Okay, so off we go to watch Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh.
Well, I have to say the feeling at the end of that episode was akin to how it feels when you walk out of the dentist after a root canal.
What was that? I think I've been brain damaged.
Oh, that was so good watching everyone die inside.
Oh, no. So that was Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo. Angus, what did you think? Okay, Baylor, what did you think?
Thanks, Lisa.
You've seen the episode before, too.
I know, I've seen it.
How does it feel? How long has it been since you've seen it?
Oh, because I know Kyle's mum.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that.
That's from the movie as well. Yeah.
Yep.
But that was the first time they sing that song.
Mm.
And I didn't realise it was that episode, so yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was in the episode too, because I definitely remember it from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie, what did you think?
I watched it like 2 times now, so...
Is it your favourite?
It's still good, but I would say I like The Christmas Miracle of Kenny.
Yeah, That's a bit
but
you like
really
about
it. At the end when Jesus has no one to say happy birthday to.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah, and he spent all that money on studio lighting. I wonder where he got it all from.
I think his loaves and fishes business.
Right. No, it's from his tall table business. If you've watched Passion of the Christ, he makes a killing off tall tables.
Not so, to be confused with tall tales.
So Jeanette's recovering from her lobotomy that she used midway through the whole thing to to avoid any further.
That's right, to make it end.
Sorry, guys. Merry Christmas. and you know, it was really good timing because then that's not probably going to make it onto our end of year recap discussion. So it's actually really good. Yeah. I always pick the really. That's, you know, I'm assuming that's why we did Wiggly Christmas last year. So
it was fun. That's the thing. It was still fun viewership. It was just.
Yeah.
It was
a
very
poor choice.
Yeah.
And you can have both.
Yeah, you can have both.
I do remember it. It wasn't until, like I said, I discussed it with my sister on Christmas Eve, but yeah, the bit she couldn't handle was when Mr. Hanky jumps around and you can actually see
the
bits of stains of
poo.
I remember checking out at that point last time I watched it. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that's where it gets a bit.
That was damaging.
Alex, have you seen it before?
Yeah, I think I've seen it before. I think when I started watching South Park was after this episode aired, so the first time I saw Mr. Hanky was the following year, where they had basically each character sing Christmas songs. So it had Carlin's family singing a turtle song, Carlin singing a version of, it was Christmas Carol, but basically turned it into Give All the Presents to Me.
Mm-hmm.
That was his song. Yeah, so that's the first time I saw Mr. Hanky's. But I saw this one later on when it re-aired, I think. So I've seen this before, and
And you sat through it again.
It's more just the whole. I also love the moral of, if you don't like the fact that the last 3 months of the year are dedicated to Christmas, then you're a party pooper. Which is the moral of the story, obviously.
I hate that, because legitimately Christmas can leave me alone. It's October.
Yeah.
It's October.
Yeah, but it's just the part of the vibe of political correctness is ruining everything by...
The message that rather than cancelling things like Christmas because it offends people, celebrate everybody's festivals.
Yes, but that offends the Christians, which is worse.
Yes.
So what happens is in the US there's this thing called the War on Christmas where...
It's come to Australia now.
Please don't.
It has now
come to Australia.
So what's that?
It's basically all the Christmas stuff that always happens, but because businesses want to have their cake and eat it too, they do all the Christmassy ornaments and winter stuff, but they say happy holidays, and that's taking the Christ out of Christmas. It's not focusing on the holiday, therefore all the conservative Christians who only get upset about two things, one, gay people, and two, Jesus being out of public life, they get so worked up over Christmas period because businesses aren't being Christmassy enough. And that's the war on Christmas, because the alternative is to admit the cultural hegemony of Christians throughout the American civilization. Yeah.
It's a war on they don't want diversity.
Yeah.
It was pagan. And all of, you know, everywhere celebrated some form of solstice festival. It's solstice.
And on this episode, it's like they go, oh, well, you don't want this, you don't want that, and you're going to be left with nothing. So then they've gone, what's something that's going to offend absolutely everybody. Mm-hmm. Let's make an episode about that.
Yeah, it's like we can't have the Christmas stuff because it offends non-Christians. We can't have anything else because it offends Christians. Mm. So we have the things that offend Christians, please, because screw them.
Yeah. It's really interesting. Yeah. Purely like the history of Christmas. I remember reading up about this. They stole it from pagans, but they didn't actually steal it. They used what pagans had and converted it to their own.
Yeah.
So Christians always had Christmas, but there was never present giving. It was never like togetherness or anything like that. It was all sit down, worship, and you're good. But in order to convince the pagans to start taking on their traditions and their faith, which is how they converted them, they went, hey, we now do presents too. Yes. How crazy is that? And like they just, that's stole how they did all stuff. The pagan aspects. Yeah, yeah.
And there's still a lot, even mince pies and a lot of the foods have pagan. So is Easter. Hot cross buns are actually pagan.
Yeah.
The cross isn't a Christian symbol at all. It's the crossroads. Mm. So it's not actually Christian.
Of the solstice.
No, well, Easter's spring festival.
That's it. Yeah, equinox. That's it. Yeah.
Christmas is solstice.
Yeah.
But yes, a lot of the things that we now think of as being associated with this Christian celebration actually predated.
So, Angus, how do you think this would appeal to modern audiences?
I mean, this wasn't super... It wasn't outright offensive, their other episodes apparently can be.
But this is definitely edgy. It's pushing a limit.
200,
it's more just...
bad words.
Yeah,
there's a lot of bad words.
I'd never watched that episode until recently, and then
literally a few weeks ago.
They have a little counter in the bottom of the screen every time they say
yes. Yes, they use every single different bad word that they can. Is that
it's only the S word. If they say that, and so they say all of the other words, it doesn't get counted, but that one does. And how many was it? 200.
It's nearly 200.
Yeah.
I didn't even... Was that in the episode?
No, that's another episode.
It's an episode. It's basically the only episode in which S-H-I-T isn't censored. I thought we were trying to censor ourselves. It was fun.
It's funny, so I watched South Park on SBS, and it was such a big thing. I don't know whether... It was the same for you guys, but in the late 90s, we couldn't get SBS on our TVs.
Yeah.
And because it was UHF and it was pre-digital. So that was always the thing. It was like we had to make this huge effort to try and dial in to get onto the UHF station to be able to watch SBS just so I could watch this one show every week.
Yeah.
And encouraged our family to get a new TV or better aerials and things like that. Oh, because that was the thing. It was like we could only hook the aerial up to the stereo to get FM radio or to the TV to get the UHF to get SBS, olden day stuff. So it was such a big deal for us to sit down and watch it.
Yeah, and I think also as well, SBS leaned into that quite a bit, and there's a lot of shows they made afterwards, like Pizza and Life Support and Quads. I think they did Quads.
No, they didn't do Quads, but they got Quads in, yeah.
I think they might have funded it a bit, but...
Oh, okay, I thought it was an American show.
No, that was Canadian, I think, actually.
Oh, there you go, was really offensive as well. Yeah. But it was, then they would start bringing in... They knew that there was a target that they were tapping into that the other stations weren't tapping into.
Yeah, and it ended up with a lot of crass programming. But it was good at the time because they aired it back when I was a teenager and you were a teenager, and it was this is great. Even though it's basically, I almost intended to bring Life Support to here, but it was just full of just offensive stuff. Just to be for the sake of offensiveness.
I remember that show. Yeah, it was the Australian help. It was like one of those Better Homes and Gardens type of thing, but it helped you with your life, but it was just really wrong.
Yeah.
So when we're watching South Park on Paramount, it had all the bad language and it wasn't censored out. And I'm like, Oh, they're saying the words. We just assumed it was beeped out already.
That's the thing. Sometimes the beeping is actually funnier. Like one episode of Pizza, the possession of Pizza, his name's Bobo Gigliotti, because I remember that, says, the reason why I'm not hiring you is not because you're lesbian, it's because you're ugly. And he just lets off at him. It's just 30 seconds worth of swearing in a row. It's just beep.
But yeah. It was an SBS. Well, I'm assuming it was a network thing, and so they had censored and uncensored ones. But yeah, like you said, it actually worked better with the beeping, and so then actually watching it. So then that episode with the ticker tape where they're swearing, that was the first one where I remember them advertising it saying, we're not going to censor the S word on this episode because it's the whole point of the episode.
Yeah.
But I just assumed that they were all... censored all before, and they lose something when they're actually when you've got animated 8-year-old kids dropping the F-bomb hit like that left, right, and yeah. centre, like
and,
they do.
And of course, the joke is, of course, Kenny's swearing his head off the whole time. You just can't hear
yes.
it.
Yes. I had to explain that to Mackenzie. I said, you know, the stuff he actually is saying that you can't hear is actually really super offensive. So that's the joke.
It's also, it's also a song where Delaney Kenny is singing with Mr. Hankey, and it's singing about Mary and Joseph trying to find a room. And if you knew...
I don't know that one. Is that a later one or something?
It's
or is that the holiday special?
It's a holiday special. No, it's from a CD release, I think.
Oh, like...
Basically, if you knew what the lyrics were, you'd be... It's not that offensive, but basically, I don't know how we're going to find a room, and Kenny and Kenny's bit the lyrics are implying something very rude.
Right.
Okay, so what food is this?
Justin is not here for this at all. He's like, well, that was nice. Now let's move on to this because I need to get myself out of this situation.
I'm not a particular fan of, like, strong chocolate, but this is definitely going to be a chocolate fudge.
Oh, Zach. Mackenzie had an idea.
Poison ivy.
Poison ivy?
Look at this. Not edible. Children. It's edible for adults.
I find chocolate poison fudge ivy pretty flavored inedible, chocolate. So.
I can definitely see the chocolate fudge with poison ivy.
Or sugar honey ice and tea. Sugar honey iced tea.
For children, but edible for adults. Makes sense.
Okay, so that was the Cult TV Club.
Last episode.
Merry Christmas.
Yay. Merry Christmas.
No.